Shall we turn, please, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Deuteronomy, chapter 32. And we read, please, from verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange god with him. Verse 15, But Jeshurun, that's another word for Israel, waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Down, please, to verse 28. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Now come over with me, please, to the book of Job, chapter 23. Job chapter 23, and reading verse 1. Then Job answered and said, Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words. I would know the words which he would speak, which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Now the Gospel of Luke, please, chapter 13. You'll have to pardon me tonight. I'm having a little difficulty with my voice, a bit of cold coming out. Luke chapter 13, and we'll read, please, from verse 31. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out, and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils and do cures. Today and tomorrow and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me, until the time come when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now God will bless the reading of these portions of his word with what we have been listening to already tonight. What's upon my mind to notice with you, in the measure that God gives me some help, for we're having a little distress tonight with the voice, but you'll have to bear with me. I would like to notice with you that from the book of Deuteronomy, we have brought before us the heart cry of a departing preacher, a man who was soon to leave the scene. And as he looked over the host of Israel, the cry of his heart was this, Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. And we have noticed in Job chapter 23, the heart cry of a desperate soul, when a person really wants God's salvation, like Job, they would say, oh, that I knew where I might find him, the person of the Lord Jesus. And everyone that has ever really desired God's salvation has found Christ as Savior, the one who died upon the cross. And then in Luke chapter 13, we have read the heart cry of a disappointed Savior. He speaks about that favored city, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but ye would not, ye would not. I don't know how any man could stand in a pulpit and preach the gospel and not have the heart cry of this man Moses. When we think of the souls of men and women that are going to be in eternity forever, in heaven above or hell beneath, the heart cry of every preacher that is true to the gospel and true to the blessed one who died for sinners upon the cross is simply, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. My friend, your wisest move tonight is to consider what's at the end of the journey. Young people today are looking forward to an education, looking forward to getting a good job, making a little money in this world, being able to get the things that most people have and that would like to have, and they're hoping that they'll be able to get ahead in a world that's round about us, and they're occupied with the things of time, but so seldom stop to think, what's at the end of the journey? When it's all over, when the story is told, when the book is closed, what about my soul, and where am I going to be 5 minutes after I die? My friend, there's nothing more important in the world than where you're going to be when you leave this scene of time. Dear man, in the state of Iowa, the gospel came to the little community where they lived. He was a farmer. It was corn planting time. They hadn't had the opportunity of hearing the gospel before. But two men came to that little area preaching the gospel of Christ as we're trying to do here. And that father said to his five sons, for he had five boys that worked with him on the farm. He said, boys, this meeting on Sunday, we're going to go out and hear what these men have to say. And so they went along to the gospel meeting, the father and the five sons, and I suppose the wife as well. They listened to the gospel. They heard some of the things that you've been hearing tonight. When they went home, the father didn't say much, but sitting at the breakfast table, he looked around at the boys and he said, boys, I want to ask you a question, each one of you. He said, we went to that gospel meeting last night. We heard some very serious, solemn things. We heard about what's at the end of the journey. We heard the necessity of being ready when we leave this scene of time. I want to ask each one of you boys, do you really believe what those men were preaching was the truth, was from the Word of God? And he started at the oldest. And the oldest said, yes, Father, I believe what they're preaching is true, it's right. And he went to the next one. And each one of those boys said, yes, Father, I believe what you're saying is what they were preaching is the truth of God, is right. We have to be ready. The father said, boys, I agree with you. I feel the very same way. He said, we're not going to plant corn. We're going to those meetings every night. You see, they had made up their minds that there was something real about this matter. You know that within 2 weeks, that father and his five sons all came to know Christ as their Savior. because they made up their mind, this is far more important than all the money we can make, even than planting our corn, even if we're late doing it, better to be ready for eternity than to plan for time and forget this most important matter. The end of 2 weeks when the father and his five sons were saved, Monday morning came again. The father said, boys, I know we're late planting corn. But he said, we're going to spend the next week going to those meetings and we're going to thank God for saving us from going down to hell. And of course, the sequel is that they got help to plant their corn later and they had the best corn in Iowa at the end of the season. But friend, the point I want to get across is this. Like this man Moses, he said, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. My friend, the end of this life, what about it? Where will you be when you're gone from the scene of time? There are things in the Word of God that are really worth consideration, you know. And this is one of the most important considerations. And Moses says, oh, that they were wise. This is wisdom. And if you're a wise individual for eternity, you will consider where you're going to be forever. And I don't believe there's ever a true preacher of the gospel with a love for souls that would ever diminish his desire for the salvation of men and women that are going on without Christ and without a Savior. Listen to the words of the dear Apostle Paul. He could say, as he wrote to the Romans, my brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And if you were to go back to chapter 9 of that same letter that Paul wrote, he said, I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brother and my kinsman, according to the flesh. What a love he had for the souls of his fellow man. No, I want to tell you, friend, we've got a love for your soul. That's why we're here. We're not just here to entertain people. We're not here just to play church. We're here, friend, to remind you that you have a soul that is going to exist eternally. And your wisest consideration is where that soul is going to be forever. We were to turn over to another portion in the book of Job. I think it's in chapter 23. You know what Job says? Job says, when I consider, I am afraid. I'm afraid. And I want to tell you, friend, you should be afraid if you're not saved tonight. If you've never had that moment when you were born again of the Spirit of God, you should be afraid to go on another moment out of Christ. Oh, I tell you, there came a time in my experience when I was afraid to go on. I said, oh God, I've got to get this matter settled. It's too important just to slip through life and forget about it. Because we're here a moment and we're gone forever. And it's so vital. Young man, way back in Newfoundland, a number of years ago, actually just when I first went to Newfoundland in 1950, just before I got there, this young man, 20 years of age, he had been working, he got a pain, they took him to the hospital. They found that his appendix had burst. Poison had got through his system. They didn't have the means that they have today to be a help to him. Mr. Harris, the preacher that we were with there, he had been to visit him. He met the big doctor, big Roman Catholic doctor, but a very nice man. And he said, Dr. Monahan, he said, what's the situation with Frank Pelley? Because when Mr. Harris went in to see Frank, he said, Frank, how are you doing? Frank said, I'm doing all right, he said. The doctor says, I'm going to get better. I think things are looking all right. I don't feel very good, but I'm going to get better. Mr. Harris said to the doctor, he said, Doctor, what's the truth? What's going to happen to that man? Dr. Monahan said, well, Mr. Harris, we're doing everything we can for him. But he said, it looks hopeless. He said, I don't think we're going to be able to save him. Frank Pelley is dying. Next time Mr. Harris went in to see him, In faithfulness to that young man, he said, "Frank, how are you feeling?" "Oh, not too bad, Mr. Harris." Mr. Harris said, "Frank, I have to tell you something. I was talking to the doctor, and he said, the doctor says you're not getting better. He said, I wish I didn't have to tell you, but he said, Frank, you are dying." "But," he said, "Mr. Harris, I didn't go to the gospel hall." "Oh," Mr. Harris said, "that doesn't matter, Frank. What about your soul?" Frank had relatives that were saved on the other side of Newfoundland. And he knew the gospel, though he didn't attend meetings very often. Mr. Harris began to point the word of God to him, how that Christ died for sinners on the cross, how that he paid redemption's price. He read to him John 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, Frank drank in the message, and he said, "Is that what the word of God says?" Mr. Harris said, "Yes, that's what the word of God says." He said, "God loved the world, and he died for sinners on the cross. God gave his Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." Mr. Harris said, "That's what it says." "Well," he said, "if that's what it says, I'm saved, because I believe he died for me." And dear Frank Pelly trusted Christ as his Savior. But the reason I mention the story, the incident, is this. Nurse had just come into the room, and Frank was very dry. His throat was parched, and he asked for water. The nurse went and got him a drink of water. And when she came back into the room, Frank Pelly said, "Nurse," he said, "I just got saved. I just got saved. Trusted Christ as my Savior." He said, "I'm going to be in heaven." She said, "I don't know what that's got to do with a glass of water." "But," he said, "Nurse, I just got saved." He said, "I'll never be in hell." And the nurse said, "I'm not afraid." Mr. Harris said, "That young man raised himself up as far as he was able, and he looked at that nurse right in the face, and he said, Nurse," he said, "What, nurse? Not afraid of the everlasting burnings? Not afraid?" I want to tell you, young people and older ones in this meeting tonight, we don't come here to make people feel afraid, but friend, that's the result if you understand what the Word of God teaches. And if you understand that if you die in your sins, your soul will be in hell. And there's everlasting burnings, friend, you need to be afraid. That's why Moses said, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider the latter end." Friend, what's it going to be in the latter end? What about the latter end of a life of sin? "Oh, you say I'm young, I haven't got into the world very much." My friend, listen, what about the latter end? When you come to the end of life's journey, whether you're young or whether you're old, you have sinned against God, and your sins demand the judgment of God. And unless, friend, you're washed in the blood of Christ, you'll be lost and lost forever. What about the latter end of a hardened heart? What about the latter end of a fearful deathbed? Oh, so many a soul has come to the end of life's journey, and they wanted God's salvation more than anything, but they had put it off, and they'd put it off, and now they're going out to meet God, and no Christ, and no Savior. Comes to my mind, for a short period, we moved our little family over to Prince Edward Island, and we found ourselves in a little home in a place called Victoria, down on the shore about a mile or two from where there were saints who gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus and Crapple. And in that little town of Victoria, they told us that just before we arrived, there was a man that just lived a few doors from where we were. And he stumbled home one night, the early hours of the morning, managed to get the door open, But he was so inebriated, he just fell on his face in the living room on the floor. His wife tried to get him up onto the Chesterfield, but she couldn't manage it, and so she just left him there. That same man, way back in 1935, had attended gospel meetings on the County Line Road. Any who are acquainted with Mr. Albert Ramsey will know that he's often told how he got saved on the County Line Road in 1935. When Mr. Harris and my uncle preached the gospel there those many years ago, this man came from the same little town. He drove an open truck, and he carried a load of people night after night to those gospel meetings. He listened to the sweet strains of the gospel. He heard of others getting saved, Mr. Ramsey and a number of others at the same time, trusting Christ as their Savior. God spoke to the man time and time again. Here he is lying on the living room floor many years later. And in the early hours of the morning, his wife heard him crying out. And what was he saying? Oh God, have mercy on my soul. Oh God, have mercy on my soul. And before the daylight came, that dear man was in eternity. I want to tell you, friend, it's your highest wisdom to consider your latter end. What is it going to be in the latter end for you? Oh, friend, listen, is it going to be an endless eternity without Christ? Is it going to be to suffer under the waves and billows of divine wrath and judgment eternally? Or is it going to be the enjoyment of heaven and the presence of God and saints for all eternity? It depends what you do tonight with a man that died on Calvary. Oh, I hope there's someone here tonight, and the cry of your soul is that heart cry that Job said, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." Oh, friend, I can tell you where you'll find him tonight. You'll find him when you're ready to acknowledge your sin before God and admit, "Oh, God, I'm guilty. I deserve judgment for my sin." That's where you'll find him. You'll find him at the end of all your self-efforts to get saved. I tell you, that was my problem. I was trying to believe, and I was trying to come, and I was trying all these different things. Well, I know you have to come. The Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I know you have to receive him. And I know you have to look to the Lord Jesus who died on Calvary. But how do you do all these things? I couldn't understand it. Oh, that I knew how I might find him. Well, you say, where did you find him? I'll tell you where I found him. I found him when I forgot all about my own efforts. When I was ready to admit my sin. And I looked away to a man who hung yonder on Calvary. And as I read the word of God, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It dawned on my dark soul that all my sins were laid on Jesus when I got to the cross. When I saw the Lord Jesus dying for me at Calvary, that's when I got salvation. That's where I found him, yonder on the cross. Where is he now? He's living at God's right hand in heaven, the man that died to save sinners and shed his precious blood to put away our sin. He's living at God's right hand in the power of an endless life. Friend, there's a living man in heaven tonight, and he died for you on Calvary. And if you're ready to step out by faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation can be yours. Oh, I remember. I don't want to entertain you with stories, but I never forget that little experience on the Labrador coast. We were going along that coast, quite far north, in the little MGM, the Missionary Gospel Messenger boat. We stopped in a place called Spotted Island, and we had some gospel meetings in an old Grenfell building there for a few nights. There was a dear woman, and her husband came to those meetings. Her name was Minnie Turnbull. She was part Eskimo. But we made the comment at the end of a meeting, if there was anyone who would like to talk to us about these things, we'd be glad to come to their home and talk about them. And when Minnie Turnbull was going out, she said, Mr. Joyce, would you come to our place for a little talk, for a little chat? I said, sure. Mr. Harris and I went to that home after the meeting. And I said to Mr. Turnbull, do you think about these important things about your soul? No, he said, to tell you the truth, I don't. He said, I'll think about that later sometime. He said, maybe when I feel I'm getting older and I'm dying or something like that. And we tried to reason with the man. We turned to Minnie Turnbull and I said, Mrs. Turnbull, do you think about these things? And almost with her answer, the tears began to come out of her eyes. She said, yes, I certainly do. I certainly do. I said, Mrs. Turnbull, if you were to die like you are now, where would you be? And she wept. She said, Mr. Joyce, I'd be in hell. I'd be in hell. You know what I found out? I found out that she was the most religious woman in the whole place. Noted for her good works. Always there when someone was sick. Always ready to prepare a meal for them. And all the rest. But what had Minnie Turnbull found out? She had found out that if she died in her sins, she'd be in hell. She came over to the little table, and there was a little coal oil lamp there on the table, burning. And we opened the Bible there. I'll never forget. I stood and watched. Mr. Harris read Acts chapter 16. And that jailer came in, trembling. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Mrs. Turnbull was standing there and she was reading it. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And there was silence for a moment. And Mrs. Turnbull looked around and she said, thank you, thank you. Well, Mr. Harris said, thank you for what? She said, thank you for showing me. She said, I see that Christ died on the cross for me. I believe on the Lord Jesus, that he died for me on Calvary. And dear Minnie Turnbull got saved by the grace of God. She's long time gone home to heaven. I want to tell you, friends, tonight, where will you find him? You'll find him right here in this gospel meeting when you're ready to come as a poor sinner to the cross. There's a Savior, and he's waiting to save you. I haven't time to notice that last portion. But think of the Lord Jesus Christ, friend. Oh, the heart cry of a disappointed Savior as he looked over the city of Jerusalem and he had to say, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, friend? God has dealt with some of you many, many times. What a sad thing if you were to miss salvation. Jerusalem missed a great opportunity. Jerusalem was left desolate. Oh, wouldn't it be sad if some young person or older one here tonight were to be left out of the blessing of God and to endure the awful sufferings of eternal judgment forever. And there's a salvation provided. And the Lord Jesus is willing and able to save tonight to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. God help you to come to Christ. Trust him as your Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So we pray. Heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence with thanksgiving that again we're in the day of grace and the gospel is being proclaimed. We know, Father, that one of these days, one of these moments soon, the saints of God will hear the shout and they'll be caught up to be with our blessed Lord. The day of grace will be over. The door of thy mercy will be closed. Salvation will be a thing of the past as far as sinners here are concerned. O God, we pray that thou deal with the hearts of those who are still in the darkness of their sin and grant, Father,